Hello, it's Mokshna here again at Adisthana, and it's day 5 of the European Chairs Assembly. So we had a first day of reporting in groups, and then a day of exploring and practicing sadhana. And then yesterday the meeting turned to a discussion of our current main theme. So over the last few meetings, the chairs have been exploring and discussing the different aspects of our culture of Triratna centres. So what are our distinctive values, our practices, our particular ways of being with each other? And this morning, Maitreyi and Padmavajra came to the meeting, share some thoughts on this topic. And I've got Maitreyi here. So she brought a question to the meeting this morning, which was, should we have stronger and clearer boundaries around internet use across all retreats and retreat centres and adopted by Triratna worldwide? So she talked to us about the use of mobile phones and the internet on retreats. And I'm just going to ask Maitreyi to tell us a bit. So what is the issue? Why did you come and want to talk about this?
Well, I think the issue is that I think all our retreat centres, without exception, do make a request of people coming on retreat to switch off mobile phones, to not use the internet during the retreat, and they'll communicate that in different ways to the people who arrive for retreats. But it does seem to be the case that often this is not taken notice of, and there is quite a lot of use of mobile phones and internet on our retreats, listening to various incidents and examples that people have found.
Mm-hmm. Like posting on Facebook how the retreat is going.
That's certainly one example. I myself don't go on. I don't use Facebook, so I haven't actually seen any of these posts. Mm-hmm. But obviously, living and working at a retreat centre, it does become apparent that, quite regularly, people are still using the technology. Despite having been asked not to, and it's not in any antagonistic kind of way, it's just that the habit, I think, is so strong that it's very hard for people to even be that conscious that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I can see this in my experience as well. So why does it matter? You know, what is at stake? This morning you told us some reasons what we might be losing by doing this.
Well, I was recalling really my own experience of, as it were, growing up in the Triratna retreat culture when there was no availability of mobile phones or the internet, and how I had experiences on retreat where a lot was demanded of me in terms of, initially on the retreats that I first went on, there'd be long periods of meditation. We were also asked not to read books apart from Dharma books on the retreat. We didn't have contact with anybody else outside the retreat. But I really appreciated the intensity of those retreat conditions that were provided for me. And I realised I had I was beginning to have quite a concern that if retreat conditions, if we can't provide those kind of retreat conditions for people coming today, or people aren't able to provide it for themselves by seeing the importance of not being in contact with the outside world while they're on retreat, then the culture that we have in Triratna will become more and more dissipated, and those retreats will not be as effective for people.
Mm. Yes, you mentioned like the importance of intensity that one had under those conditions and experiencing existential aloneness.
Yes, I was particularly thinking in that respect about solitary retreats. Solitary retreats have been very, very important for me in my spiritual life and practice. And again, you know, for many years I went on solitary retreats without any way of contacting anybody else apart from maybe some arrangement that had been made in case of an emergency. So I really was just with myself. And Bhante talks about the real importance spiritually of experiencing that existential aloneness. And I think, again, perhaps that's not the case to the same extent. People don't go on as many or as regular or as long solitary retreats as certainly myself and my peers have done, and may well take all kinds of technology with them.
Mm. It certainly seemed to strike a chord with many of the centre chairs, and I could imagine it will give us all in the movement in order something to think about, the effect, you know, that this has of staying in constant communication and connection with the outside world and other people.
It's also, I think, let's just think how to put this, it's also staying connected to a familiar sense of identity. If one doesn't come away from the kind of communications that you're used to having, the people that you're used to having communications with, the activities and the distractions that you're very used to having day by day, you're not able to give yourself a space where something different can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, by picking up the phone or by sending messages, you're increasing or compounding that sense of your ego identity, that the retreat could give you a real opportunity to have a different, to have a different experience, to know what's really important in your life, to maybe begin to think about certain changes you might make to, might want to make in your life. Bhante talks about this in terms of the retreat as a bardo. And you can't have a bardo unless, to some extent, you're in unfamiliar territory.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we in those more intensive conditions, there's aspects of that we really respond to positively, and there's aspects where we can feel a sense of insecurity, and we can reach for what is most familiar, in which case it might be a mobile phone, a message, something on Facebook that gives us a very sort of familiar, everyday sense of ourselves. But by doing that, we're missing an opportunity.
Now that sounds really interesting, and there's a tantalizing promise of something that we can gain if we open up to having a longer time without any contact to anybody else. So what would you like to see happening?
I would like to see us have more confidence in our order and movement about establishing strong retreat conditions and making demands on people who come on retreat, well, ourselves on retreat and others who come on retreat, making demands on them in the sense of taking people really seriously in their wish to practice, to deepen their practice. And so seriously demand and in whatever way that together we create the conditions that are needed for strong and deep spiritual practice on retreat.
Maitreya, thank you very much, and I'm fairly confident that this will run and lead to more discussions on all kinds of levels at centres and in the order and in retreat centres. So thank you very much for talking.